Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us today Jed Babin. And Mr. Babin has a degree in engineering, has a doctorate of law. He was the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense during the first Bush administration. And he's written an amazing book. It's called Inside the Asylum. And what's the asylum? Well, the asylum is where you and I live. And he says one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing in the same way over and over again and expecting different results. In the asylum that the United Nations has become, this form of insanity is not suffered by all the inmates. He goes on to talk about the United Nations, and we would certainly totally agree with him as he points out the United Nations is a totally corrupt organization, and we need to get out of the United Nations. Mr. Babin, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And, of course, thank you for writing a book on the United Nations. That's not very popular today. After all, it seems that the leaders of both political parties really sort of embrace this wonderful organization that is sort of the hope of the world and the path to world peace. But you seem to take exception with those views.
Well, I really do, and I don't think that both political parties are embracing that. I think certainly some of the people in this administration, the Bush administration, have done so, most notably Mr. Powell in the State Department. But I think there's an enormous amount of skepticism and doubt and, quite frankly, anger at the State Department, rather at the United Nations and most of the rest of the government, particularly in the White House these days, because the United Nations has failed again and again and again and again to do what it's supposed to do. You see an awful lot of support for the United Nations amongst the elites and the media, but I'll tell you what, this book has only been out for a few days, and more people are coming to me now and saying, "Yeah, I wish you'd written this book 2 years ago. Where were you when we needed you?" Well, guys, I could just do it as fast as I could, and I'm really glad it's out now because I think this could be and should be a real issue in this election. Well, which candidate wants to subsume our interests in those of the United Nations?
All right. Well, of course, you point out a great deal about Kofi Annan and about the Oil for Food program. Why don't you just take off on some of the things that I think every American should be concerned about what the United Nations is and has been doing?
Well, you know, you start out with the Oil for Food scandal, which is the headline, and it's really shocking. Under a UN resolution after the 1991 Gulf War, we were supposed to be allowing the Iraqis to sell oil on the world market only to pay for food and humanitarian supplies to prevent their own people from starving or suffering a humanitarian catastrophe. However, we find out now that tens of billions of dollars, we're not talking chicken feed here, we're talking billions upon billions of dollars, were literally stolen out of that program, probably by UN officials themselves, certainly to the benefit of certain governments, including France and Russia, and a number of individuals who have become enriched over this. The scandal may even go directly into the Secretary General's office itself. So this is it's probably, as Bill Sapphire of the New York Times has called it, the largest ripoff in history. This is quite probably, I mean almost certainly, the largest financial crime that has ever occurred in the history of the world. But after all, that's only about money. What bothers me, obviously that bothers me a lot, but what bothers me even more is the UN's tolerance of terrorism.
Would you mind holding that thought? Because we're going to bring some other stations on board here, and I think that's really so important. The point that you bring out so well is that the United Nations not only tolerates, but embraces some of the worst terrorists in the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest today is Jed Babin, and he, of course, is a lawyer. He has his degree in law and engineering. He was also an Air Force officer. He was in the deputy undersecretary of defense during the first Bush administration under George Herbert Walker Bush, a very, very important position. So he speaks with an air of authority when he talks about the United Nations. He's written a book called Inside the Asylum. And the whole idea is that we have to be really crazy to go along with the United Nations and its policies. And we were just speaking of the fact that the United Nations, as many, many countries within its realm, embracing them, that are certainly headed by terrible and brutal dictatorships. And some of these organizations that the countries actually support terrorism, and yet they're part and parcel of the United Nations with the same vote that we have. Would you like to pick up that idea?
Yeah, the real issue here, Dr. Stan, and you're hitting on something that I think that most people don't really think about a lot, but we need to think about it a lot more. Our Constitution says that all men are created equal, and that's right. But I'm here to tell you that not all nations are created equal, even though that's one of the founding predicates, founding principles of the United Nations. That's why you end up with, it would be laughable if it wasn't so doggone serious. You have a situation where something like the Sudan or Libya becomes the head of the Human Rights Commission, they being the most abusive of human rights. You have the Sudan, is one of the places where chattel slavery is practiced, for heaven's sake. You have China and Cuba on the Human Rights Commission. You have people who are completely dedicated to terrorism, like Iran, North Korea, Syria, given an equal vote in the General Assembly of nations like the Australians, the New Zealanders, the Israelis, the Turks. I mean, it is just absolutely, again, it's horrific, because if it weren't horrific, it would simply be comical. You have a situation where it is a corrupt organization because it is set up that way. It cannot be anything otherwise. It is corrupt financially. It is corrupt morally. And it is just something that we can no longer really tolerate in its current form.
Well, I certainly would agree with you. And one of the things you bring out in your book is the cozy relationship that France and other countries had with Saddam Hussein in violating the embargo, the United Nations embargo. We'll be back to that in just a moment when our other stations come back with us. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and again, our guest is Jed Babin, a former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense during the first Bush administration. And we've been talking about how within the United Nations we have nations that really embrace terrorism, that are autocratic and dictatorial, and we would have countries like Libya or China, you know, or the Sudan, you know, on the committees on human rights. Well, that's like asking the fox to control the hen house. One of the things, though, that you bring out is the relationship between France and Saddam Hussein, and that France was actually selling Saddam Hussein embargoed weapons. Many of those weapons then were used to kill American boys during the invasion.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, a lot of people think that, you know, France is just an old ally that we've had some problems with, that maybe it's errant or maybe we drove them away. In fact, France is not any sort of an ally. France is now our enemy, and it's not proven by their antics in the United Nations, which truthfully are not terribly important. What is important is what they did on the ground in Bosnia by providing the Milosevic government with intelligence information that we had shared with them, and on the ground in Iraq, where they again passed along intelligence information to Saddam and sold weapons to Saddam during the arms embargo. I have some very good explanations in Inside the Asylum about what our guys are finding, and it's more than small arms, it's even missiles that can be used against tanks and aircraft. The French are an errant regime. They are not our friend. They are now our enemy, and I frankly think they are pretty much irrelevant to the political equation. So all of those whining about why we don't have France and Germany on our side in Iraq are just whistling down a well.
Well, now, I've heard that also the Russians were supplying Saddam during the embargo. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, there is, and I have a lot of different information about that, Dr. Stan, but I'm really not anxious to talk about it yet because I'm still trying to confirm it. I'm not somebody that wants to just go out and start making wild accusations. I hate to say this, but I have some legal training, and you were very kind in the introduction. I went to law school because I wasn't smart enough to be an engineer, but I did pick up just some minor scraps of ethics along the lines. I just don't want to go there right now.
All right, fine. Well, it's all right now. You talk about the United Nations has not only turned a blind eye to terrorism, but is actually quite comfortable with admitting terrorists to the community of nations, tolerating their development of nuclear weapons, and putting members of terrorist organizations on its payroll. Would you like to sort of develop that? Because I think the people have to understand that they're in New York City, you know, on the East River, I guess it is, that we have this center for the United Nations that is a center of subversion within our society.
Well, it really is, and it's. I want to start in the middle because I think that's the most important one, but I want to get to the other 2 points you made. We are now in a situation where we are at war against terrorists and the nations that support them. I don't like people calling this a war against terrorism because terrorism is a strategy or a tactic. You can't declare war against a strategy or a tactic, and a strategy or a tactic can't declare war against you. We are at war with people and the nations that support them. Iran is the central terrorist nation in the world today. They are going hell for leather developing nuclear weapons. The International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, has turned a blind eye towards the development of nuclear weapons in Iran. They are doing the world an enormous disservice. We cannot tolerate it. We cannot allow the Iranians to obtain a nuclear weapon. So what we are going to have to do, I mean, frankly, by making the decision to turn a blind eye to the Iranians developing nuclear weapons, the UN is making war more likely rather than less, rather than putting pressure on them that might slow them down or might stop them. They're just throwing up their hands and saying, well, you know, we're really not sure they're doing it. So that's a very, very important point.
In fact, within the last week, we've expelled a couple of Iranian guards that were supposedly guarding the Iranian delegation because they were taking pictures of all sorts of strategic sites in New York City, and the inference was that they were preparing for terrorist attacks. Were you aware of that information?
Yes, and that's unfortunately, that's about the third or fourth time that happened in the past couple of years. We've had the Iranians, UN representatives and their staff going out there and photographing everything from New York City subways to the Statue of Liberty. And you might recall that in one of his fatwas back in 1998, Osama bin Laden said that the Statue of Liberty must come down. So these guys are just casing the place for a terrorist attack. And the United Nations provides them diplomatic immunity and the ability to function in the United States. It's really a very much of a lose-lose proposition for us.
I agree with you totally. Now, we hear a lot about this conflict between the Shia Muslims, which would be Iran, and the Sunni, which would be Saudi Arabia and Osama. But I understand that there's a great deal of evidence to suggest that they're quite willing to work together against the common enemy, who is us. Have you looked into that at all?
Yes, and that is precisely correct. I mean, your statement of it is quite correct. I mean, they are not consistent in their beliefs. They are not completely happy with each other, but it's one of the best analogies I guess you could make is the mafia families. They don't much like each other, but many of them are willing to work together from time to time in order to make their kills or pull off whatever scam they're trying to commit. So that's where you are with these terrorist outfits. It's the same doggone thing. These people will do anything to kill us. They'll cooperate with each other, and they are doing so, very much so in a lot of different operations.
Well, one of my favorite poems was one you actually quoted in your book, Locksley Hall. I'd say that probably not more than one American 10,000 has ever heard of Locksley Hall. They've heard of Lord Tennyson, but not Locksley Hall, unless, of course, they've studied this move towards world government. And you quote, "Far along the worldwide whisper of the south wind rushing warm, with the standards of the people plunging through the thunderstorms, till the war drum throbbed no longer and the battle flags were furled in the Parliament of Man, the Federation of the World. There the common sense of most shall hold a fretful realm in awe, and the kindly earth shall slumber, lapped in universal law. And of course, that's always been the dream, this idea of a world government where we could just have no more wars, and this wonderful utopian society. Edward Bellamy quoted that. Certainly Andrew Carnegie quoted that. Arthur Schlesinger quoted that in an article in the Wall Street Journal in October of 1993, all directing towards this idea of a world government. And that's what the United Nations is all about, isn't it?
Well, that was the theory anyway. And Locksley Hall happened to be President Truman's favorite poem, and he recited that from memory for most of his life. But with that vision in mind, he and Churchill and Stalin and others set up this United Nations, but they set it up in a way that, quite frankly, was doomed to fail. And it really goes back to something we were talking about earlier, this idea that all nations are created equal, and that these people will come to New York and meet in good faith and try to solve the world's problems. And it just doesn't work that way. You have nations that are ill-motivated, that do not have any intention of working towards peace. And what we need to do, if we're going to have some sort of world body like the UN, but not the UN, is to reform it without these nations. We don't need North Korea telling us about how we shouldn't be dealing what we're doing with military matters. We don't need Saudi Arabia to tell us what we need to do about human rights. And we sure as heck don't need Syria to tell us how we should be dealing with terrorists.
And I agree with you totally. I don't think that you can, you know, get into bed with these vile and violent and ruthless countries and expect, of course, to get out of bed with all of your extremities intact. And you know, of course, Winston Churchill had said of that poem, the most noble words ever written. And there's so many people who embrace this dream. At one time, I used to embrace it until I began reading and understanding the real problems there. And you talk about Kofi Annan. You talk about the fabulous salaries these people get and the perks they get. And now these people in key positions in the United Nations are not necessarily the most moral people themselves. Would you like to develop that idea?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just really, it's a very shabbily run organization. They have set for themselves a doctrine whereby they are intending to pay the highest comparable salaries of any bureaucracy or government agency in the world to their people so that they can hire the best. But they don't necessarily hire the best. They hire a lot of people who are terribly overpaid for what they do. You have about 17,000 bureaucrats in the United Nations pulling down roughly $1 billion in salaries. And I'll tell you, you and I should have jobs like this.
Yeah, but we're paying for it.
Well, that's the problem. We're paying for it, and nobody's accountable. No one is accountable within the United Nations. And the sad part, I'm sure you saw that report a few days ago about the inner survey that was taken by the Deloitte firm within the United Nations that got leaked to the press. It's something like 60 or 70% of the people who work for the United Nations think the place is completely corrupt. So if even the people who work there know that there's a huge problem, it defies my logic to see why people aren't trying to hold the UN more accountable, not just for the oil for food scandal, but for these other scandals that are brewing there every single day.
In fact, it breaks my heart when I think about what happened to Rwanda when there was United Nations forces there that could have stopped that terrible slaughter, and of course they wouldn't do it, and 800,000 people perished because the Canadian general obeyed the man who gave the orders. His name was Kofi Annan.
Well, there you go. I mean, you have Kofi Annan undercutting the Security Council at every turn. He sold the inspectors down the river when Richard Butler was heading up the Iraq inspections, and that's why we ended up in a war. If you have a diplomatic organization that works hard and acts up and supports its own resolutions, you might be able to avoid war, but the UN doesn't do that. It makes war more likely.
We'll hold that thought right now. We're going to have to take a break because for commercials, that's how we stay on the air. We'll be back in just a moment with our special guest, Jeb Babin, and we'll be talking about Inside the Asylum. And that's the United Nations. Inside the Asylum, a great book.
help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaur's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaur's book, Due to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, that we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets. And this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention that we do carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and if you haven't tried them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Jeb Babin. And, of course, Mr. Babin was an undersecretary of defense during the first Bush administration. He's well aware of the very real threats that we face today in the world. And one of the points that he's making out in his book, Inside the Asylum, which is really the story of the United Nations, is how well the bureaucrats there at the United Nations work with the terrorists. And you even talk about up there on the Lebanon border between Lebanon and Israel, the northern part of Israel, where, of course, he had the United Nations troops stationed, the United Nations officials, and, of course, they're just making out great with the terrorists there.
It's amazing to me, Dr. Stan. You know, I've kicked around Washington for nigh on to 30 years, and I thought I was pretty jaded. Nothing would shock me very easily. I'll tell you what, this one just kind of blew me right out of my socks. I was over in Israel last November, and I'd heard about this before from a couple of friends who'd been there. But right on the Lebanese border, there are a couple of posts side by side, one on each side of the fence. One's an Israeli army post keeping an eye on the bad guys, and the other is a UN post on the side with the bad guys in Lebanon. And if you look at that place, and there's a picture right in my book and Inside the Asylum that proves this beyond a shadow of a doubt, you have two flagpoles side by side. On one flagpole stands the UN flag flying in all its blue glory, and about 10 or 15 feet away from it there's a second flagpole that flies the flag of Hezbollah. And Hezbollah, your listeners will remember, is the terrorist regime and organization that has more American blood on its hands than any other except for Al-Qaeda. These are the guys who blew up the Marine barracks in Lebanon and killed 241 young Marines back in 1986. They kidnapped and killed the CIA station chief, William Buckley, and they are just as bad guys come. And I talked to some of the Israeli soldiers who had served on the Israeli side there, and they assured me that it's just as bad as it appears. Hezbollah and the UN use the same phones, they drink the same water, they play cards, they're very comfortable with each other. And to me, that is an insult to every American who died on that day in 1986, and every American who has served our flag since.
And of course,
I don't know how we can tolerate this.
And, of course, Hezbollah actually tortured William Buckley to death. They captured the head of the American embassy, pardon me, the American university in Beirut, David Dodge, and they tortured him to death, too.
Yes,
and
brothers.
Nothing has ever been done to go after the people within Hezbollah who have done these things, and that's really all covered in my latest newsletter, which is the reason I know those is a fact. If you haven't got my latest newsletter, we'll tell you a little later how to get it. But one of the points you make, and I think it's such a valid one, is we are one of the major sources of financial aid. Now, we have one vote in the United Nations, and what do? We put up almost a quarter of the expenses of an organization. We have one vote in it?
Yeah, we have since the United Nations was founded, we've been the biggest financial contributor. And right now, by law, we are spending about 22% of the UN's, we're giving the UN about 22% of its budget. Most people think that's about $3 billion a year, but it's actually over double that. We're giving the UN about $7 billion a year, and they're spending it on UN outposts to collaborate or at least side-by-side exist with Hezbollah. We have the UN Relief and Works Agency in Palestine, the West Bank, and Gaza Strip hiring terrorists. There's an affidavit or an excerpt of an affidavit from U.S. District Court. Another one of the appendices and Inside the Asylum that is the testimony of a gentleman who said that Hamas and Hezbollah members are hired by this UN organization without regard to their membership in the terrorist groups. It is just amazing to me how comfortable the UN is with terror and how we do not hold them to account much more stringently.
And the thing that really bothers me more than anything is that the United Nations is increasingly usurping our sovereignty and through all sorts of treaties affiliated with the United Nations, maybe not actually the United Nations Treaty, but the World Trade Organization, NAFTA, and now the International Criminal Court. We're beginning to find that more and more sovereignty and individual freedom is lost. And my concern is that we find even people in the Supreme Court who are saying, we've got to go to the United Nations, we've got to go to the European Union to find out how to format our laws. Can we have a sovereign nation if we do this sort of thing?
We sure can't, not in my opinion.
Well, what are we going to do?
Well, what we're going to do, I hope, Mr. Bush is going to continue to do what he has to do outside of the United Nations. Eventually, we're going to draw ourselves down and out of the United Nations and take with us the free nations of the world and form a new body of free and independent democracy that will actually work for world peace.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with our very, very special guest, Jeb Babin. We're going to talk about Inside the Asylum.
We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blackout across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to mention a couple of the other things that we carry. One of them is the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. Now, if you have your children in a government school, let me suggest, if you really care about them, get them out of that government school, because there is an agenda, and that is to change their whole outlook. Certainly to turn them against God, to turn them against our family, to turn them against our way of life, because if you read what they're being taught how wonderful the United Nations is, how that we've really got to embrace this idea of world government, and how much better the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is than that outmoded Bill of Rights, how many more freedoms you have. If you've not yet had listened to our four-tape set on the Fed Ed, it's a four-tape set, and we actually have a book that you can get that will document everything we say. You need to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And we hope that many of you out there will seriously consider getting the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. Now, this is a curriculum designed from a Christian perspective for children that will take them from grammar school all the way through high school graduation for the unbelievable price of $199.95. All the textbooks are there. They're on the computer. You got to print them, of course. But they're there. All the only textbooks you have to buy are the math textbook. And, of course, the education is there. This Dr. Robinson's a personal friend of mine, and he actually put his children, six of them, through this program, where the two older boys graduated from high school. They went right into the third year of college because they were so far away, far ahead of their contemporaries. We've been dumbing down our children too long. If you care about them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and consider getting the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum and the tape set in the book on Fed Ed. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Jed Babin, formerly the Undersecretary of Defense during the first Bush administration. And we've got calling in here from Salinas, Fred, and incidentally, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Fred, did you have a question there?
Yes, I just wanted to say, I just wondered if you had noticed in the news that starting as of July 1st, all of the shipping lines have to go under new rules and regulations or not? Have you read anything about that?
Well, I know that there are all sorts of new rules and regulations. Yes, I have read about it. I don't know the details. You probably know more than I do because you're an old fisherman, so you understand these rules.
I just put a bunch of information in the mail for you. But basically, what that is, they forgot to say on all the news that's all United Nations rules that all of the shipping lines are having to follow now.
All right, let's get Mr. Babin's notes. Do you know anything at all about what Fred is talking about, these new rules and regulations for shipping under United Nations control?
I really don't. I have heard, though, that our U.S. Coast Guard is now imposing on all ships entering the United States that every single one of them is going to be stopped and boarded and searched.
That's what it is.
There's a variety of conventions that we have signed along with other nations. To make shipping more safe, to have different countries inspect shipping to make sure that things are not leaking and environmental standards are met and things like that. But beyond that, I really just don't know.
Okay, anything else, Fred?
Well, this is just a whole new set of rules and regulations that come out from United Nations, and It'll be in your mail there.
All right, fine. You're sure it's not Office of Homeland Security? It is the United Nations?
It's from the United Nations. Okay. It's all underlined there for you.
Thanks so much, Fred. I appreciate you getting the information to me. Okay, that was Fred calling from Salinas, and now we have Nathan calling in from Contra Costa County. Hi, Nathan. Did you have a question for our guest?
Let me second what the previous gentleman stated. These are, I'm not sure if they're United Nations, but I know they're international standards. In other words, they're basically, it's all part of this movement to implement the RFID and the biometric codes and all the rest of that, but it's not going to be on a global scale. And yes, indeed, this is part of the advance of the New World Order. But what I wanted to say to both of you is, first of all, thank you very much for the program tonight, this afternoon. It's a fine program. Do you believe that if indeed this is Saddam Hussein being tried and not some double or not some event, and by the way, if it is Saddam Hussein, he deserves full justice. But do you think this is going to be used in an ever so subtle way to implement this one world court? That, you know, you get somebody who definitely does deserve the full measure of justice, and you sort of get the peoples of the world behind trying him, and he should be tried. But you get the momentum going, and then pretty soon it becomes ever more strengthened, and then it begins to replace our own constitution here. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank
all
you.
Right, fine. Well, of course, the question is, Mr. Babin, do you think that this move to try Saddam Hussein could be used to implement this idea of a world court rather than a national court? My understanding is that Saddam is going to be tried by an Iraqi court, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're exactly correct, and as my understanding of it is, there are a lot of people who are advocating that the trial be taken away from the Iraqis and put into this international criminal court that the UN has established and that we have not signed on to. But I think it's very important, Dr. Stan, to let the Iraqis do this themselves. They've got a new government. They're establishing their own sovereignty and legitimacy, and this is the way people do it. They are going to try this guy, and frankly, to me, it seems a lot less important whether they hang him or turn him loose than the fact that the Iraqis do it themselves. They're a free people now, and they can make their own doggone decisions. They don't need the UN to tell them how to do it.
And I agree with you totally, except I really don't want them to turn him loose. I think that this is a very wicked and evil man, and I've studied his career. And if there was anybody who ever deserved a permanent solution, why, it's Saddam Hussein. Anyway,
well, I say advisedly that it really doesn't matter, but right. I don't believe for a minute that they're going to let this guy go.
I certainly don't either. Well, you know, here we have this problem with the United Nations, and the biggest problem, I think, is a matter of perception. You know, when I graduated from the University of California, I totally believed in the United Nations, and for a number of years after I went into medical profession, I was actually a physician for many years. I could not believe there was anything wrong with the United Nations. I think this is the perception of so many people across America today. Now, informed people like you who've been in Washington, D.C. and know all the problems with the United Nations, understand what's going on, and I finally saw the light a few years ago. But how are we going to get the average individual to realize that this organization is not just all, marshmallows? It's really a very, very dangerous organization that threatens our sovereignty. And certainly, I don't want Fidel Castro or Omar Gaddafi to basically have any influence on what happens in America.
Well, I really think that the way we can get people to be aware of this more is, number one, I hope a lot of people read my book, and number two, shows like yours. The more we talk about it, the more it can become an issue. And again, as I said earlier, I think it's very important that this become an issue in this year's presidential election, because we have one candidate who has made it very clear he's going to pay whatever price it takes to become popular in the United Nations, and we have a president who's running for re-election that does not want to do that, and that's exactly where I stand with President Bush.
All right, fine. Let's go to Doug, who's calling from Florida. Doug, did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I wanted a clarification, Dr. Stan. Good evening to you. It took me several years to come to the understanding that they use treaty law to subvert our Constitution as a go-around, and Jed, you had made the comment that we need another... body instead of the UN, and I've come to the understanding that we have traitors in our own government that have used this power in the Constitution to subvert our system. And is this something that you see as a problem, even if it was another organization?
All right, did you get the question?
I think so. I think that the treaties that we have signed, most of them have been pretty good, some of them have been pretty terrible, and we've managed to stay out of the worst of them. But a treaty doesn't trump the Constitution. Even if we get into a treaty through the UN or some other body, we still retain our constitutional rights as Americans. That's the way I learned it in law school, and I'll be pretty doggone sure that's the way it still stands. But I think what we can do, if we have an alternative to the UN, we're going to see a lot fewer of these cockamamie ideas coming up, and we're not going to have to worry so much about them. We don't sign every treaty that comes along. The Global Warming Treaty is another one that comes to mind that we've very wisely stayed the heck out of. But the UN will continue to produce these treaties as long as people pay attention to it.
And of course,
the reason the UN's a big problem.
Well, we have the Law of the Sea Treaty, and they're sure trying to get that thing through, the Biodiversity Treaty. They did get through the Desertification Treaty. Now, one person in 100,000 even knows what that's all about. But that's one of the most dangerous treaties we've ever signed. Okay, anything else, Doug?
Well, I agree with the that it shouldn't trump the Constitution, but it sure does seem like it is in the laws, and maybe you want to argue that yourself, Dr. Stan. I appreciate it very much.
All right, fine. Yeah, thanks very much. We've got Nathan wants to make a correction,
yeah.
And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Nathan, did you want to make a comment here?
Well, unfortunately, I did have to make one comment. I believe that very recently the Bush administration did drop our attempt to have a waiver against our troops being tried under the World Court. So,
yeah,
unfortunately, we are under the World Court.
That's under the International Criminal Court. That's different than the World Court. But
as far as Saddam Hussein, my suspicion is that this is sort of a covert World Court action being implemented as an Iraqi court, but I can't really prove that, and I certainly don't want him to escape justice.
All right, fine. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank
Nathan. And our guest today is Jeb Babin, and of course our subject is his book Inside the Asylum: Why the United Nations and Old Europe Are Worse Than You Think. It now, when you refer to Old Europe, what are you really talking about?
Well, before I get to that, Dr. Stan, let me just correct something that Nathan just said.
Right.
We are not under the International Criminal Court because we dropped our objections. Now, all we have had is our objections being dropped, our exemption being dropped from its jurisdiction, but we have not accepted its jurisdiction. We have not signed the treaty, and it's going to be a cold day in Satan's place before an American troop is going to be dragged in front of that court.
I sure hope so.
Off to old Europe. That's our friends. I put that in quotes.
Right.
The French, the Italians, the Germans, the Spanish, and a whole variety of other European nations which have sunk to a level of decadence that hasn't been seen since Madame Guillotine made her first appearance in 1792. They are really breaking the bargain with us. They are appeasing terrorism, and they're not spending sufficiently in their own defense to really even keep the part of the NATO bargain. We promised to protect them if they at least made an effort to protect themselves, and they're not doing it.
And I really don't know why we are still have our troops stationed in Europe. I think we ought to bring our troops home. What do you think about that?
Well,
I'm talking about in Europe now.
Yeah, I think that's dead bang right, and we're actually doing that right now. We have just announced a few days ago, Mr. Rumsfeld announced that we're pulling pretty much all of the guys and gals out of Germany. And that's a really good start. They're sitting there and drinking beer while their comrades are fighting and dying in Iraq, and I think they can be put to much better use. We're just going to leave enough people up there to man the military hospital and keep open a couple of Air Force bases. That's about it.
Well, now, this is not something you covered in your book, but you're pretty close to the belly of the beast there in Washington, D.C. A couple of things. I have heard from a number of very reliable sources that Saddam Hussein really did have weapons of mass destruction and that they were moved over into Syria and they're being kept there, where, of course, there's nobody to monitor them and keep them even from falling into the hands of the terrorists. Is there any truth to that in your estimation, or is that something that should be explored?
Well, it is being explored. There is quite a bit to it, and I think
The only reason I, again, one of the reasons I have not gone on record on this in my columns is that there are a lot of reports that I have. Some very specific organizations have told me some very specific information. Basically, they've told me the names of two towns in northeast Lebanon, just over the Syrian border, where a lot of this stuff has been buried. I just haven't been able to confirm it. So that's the only reason I'm not putting it in the headlines.
All right, fine. Well, at least I wanted to see if your information was very much similar to mine. The other, you know, is that we're going to have to do something about Iran. If the people of Iran won't overthrow the Ayatollahs, I believe that certainly as they are very, very close to developing their nuclear capability, you know, I don't think that we can really allow them to have that because of the fanatic, you know, rationale. These people don't think clearly. The radical Islamic fundamentalist really wants to destroy America, and you can read their writings. We cannot simply stand by and allow them to continue developing nuclear weapons, which threaten not only America, but the peace of the world. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're precisely correct. Iran is going hell for leather to develop nuclear weapons. They have spent an enormous amount of money and an enormous amount of time over the past 20 years trying to develop them. One of the great tragedies of the 21st century, this very young century, is that the International Atomic Energy Agency, the UN's nuclear watchdog, is sitting by and turning a blind eye to what's going on in Iran. We cannot allow the terrorists who run Iran to obtain nuclear weapons. And I'll tell you, one of the things that we mistake all the time, I mean, we call them crazies, and by our standards, they certainly are. But I'll tell you what, in the radical Islamic world, those people are stone-cold sober, and they are accepted as clear thinkers. They have what they believe is a religious obligation to obtain nuclear weapons. When they get them, they will use them. They will use them against Israel. They will use them against us. They will permit terrorists to have them. And we simply can't allow that to occur.
And I think that people really need to understand that they feel that Islam is threatened. They will either dominate or we will dominate. If we dominate, Islam dies, and they will not allow that to happen. They look at the world through entirely different views than we do.
Absolutely right.
Now, one of the points you started to make, and we got off on another subject, was how the United Nations prevented Butler and the other people who were looking for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq from being successful. Would you like to explore that? Because I think that's so important.
Yeah, it really shows how Kofi Annan is just really anti-American, anti-peace, and interested only in maintaining his own power and influence. When Richard Butler was the head of the Iraq inspections arm of the United Nations, there were a lot of disputes with the Iraqis about where they could go, when they could go, what they were allowed to do, and you know whether they were going to have no-notice inspections or were they going to have to play a Mother May I game. And Kofi Annan basically sold them out. He had no right to do so. He had no authority to from the Security Council. But he flew over to Baghdad. He met with Saddam Hussein. And he agreed to all sorts of procedures which basically prevented Butler from doing his job. And Butler eventually quit in disgust, and Saddam threw the inspectors out of Iraq anyway. So, again, the United Nations was not accepting its responsibility, and through its diplomatic failures was actually making war more likely rather than less.
Okay, fine. Now, how can people get copies of your book? This is Inside the Asylum, Why the United Nations and Old Europe Are Worse than You Think. Where can people get this book?
Well, it's in fine bookstores everywhere, Barnes & Nobles. You can get it on barnesandnobles.com or amazon.com if you don't find it in the local bookstores, but it should be right nearby.
All right, fine. And you've done a great job. I really appreciate so much your writing this, because I'll tell you what, there are so many people who embrace the United Nations, who thinks it's the hope of the world, and I understand how they think, but I think they're absolutely wrong. We've got about 1 minute to wrap up the program. What would your parting thought be for our listeners today?
I think everybody needs to be more aware of the United Nations. Think about it. Talk about it. Talk to your friends about it. Find out everything you can. As an American voter, you have the principal obligation to be better informed. Do your job and vote smartly. smart in November.
All right. Well, thank you so very much. I really appreciate you being with us. I do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and if I want to get you scheduled for my other program, should I go through your scheduler or go directly to you?
Well, please go through the scheduler at least for the next few weeks, because she's got me tied up in knots, and I don't want to get in trouble with that lady.
Well, I don't want you to. God bless, and thanks so very much.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, fine. Well, that was a very, very well-informed gentleman. I think his book is worthwhile reading. As you know, my views, and I don't like to argue with my guests. I want to hear what they have to say, and I think he's absolutely right. We've got to get out of the United Nations. As far as the solution, as far as which political party you want to back in November, well, I wish that there were more opposition from at least the current administration. I think that both administrations are pushing towards globalism. I think both administrations are looking for world government. And I think that with that will come the loss of all freedom, the loss of American sovereignty, the loss of our ability to be free. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention some of the other items we carry. We actually have a shortwave radio. It's a Sanzian 155, I believe it is. Anyway, it's the Sanzian radio that we carry, and it's got 40 or 50 station memory. It's AM and FM and shortwave, and you can pull down just about any shortwave station you want to. Now, remember, with any shortwave radio, you have to have a good aerial to get good reception, but this is top of the line as far as a Sanzian is concerned. Oh, you can put on another $100 with more bells and whistles, but this has everything from a practical point of view the average individual wants. And if you'd like to get to know more about the Sanzian radio that we carry, you can go to our website. It's $149.95 plus shipping, but go to our website at radioliberty.com and you can see it there. And this is an excellent, excellent shortwave radio, and you can listen 4 hours a day to Radio Liberty almost anywhere in the country on shortwave. Now, as you know, we do have our internet connections. You can listen to us 5 hours a day on the internet. Our early morning program is the only one that's not on shortwave. Of this program, and then our evening program on shortwave. Your job out there in the listening audience is to tell people to be able to listen to our programs. And so once they listen to the programs, hopefully they'll begin to get educated. They begin to understand that we're truly involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. You know, we've got a lot of people out there that know we're heading towards a government headed by the Antichrist, but nobody ever asks how this is going to come about. It's going to come about through the actions of men. Men who have truly sold their souls to the prince of this world. And if you don't believe people do it, you need to get our new video. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And you'll hear many of the rock and roll stars talking about that, but politicians do it as well. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners all across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out 5 hours a day on the Internet and 4 hours a day on shortwave and to stations all across America. Our Saturday program heard on 35 stations, many first hour of our evening program heard on 11 stations plus shortwave. But we need your help to continue doing what we're doing. So if you believe that we're involved in a very real battle, we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because we're a voice, a small voice, but it's a growing voice, and it's growing because people out there believe in what we're doing and want to help. Well, we hope maybe you'll give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And when you do, you get our four best tapes of the month. You get our monthly newsletter if you like. But more than that, you're helping us do what we do, trying to re-educate the American people. Most Americans are wonderful people. Most of them want to be free. Most of them oppose socialism, the all-powerful state. Most of them want to maintain the sovereignty of our nation rather than forego our Bill of Rights and embrace the Declaration of Human Rights, which guarantees you all sorts of things as long as the government wants to give them to you. Our freedoms come from God. We've more or less forgotten that up. We've forgotten what this is really all about, but we need to understand America was unique. In fact, we're celebrating the Declaration of Independence. And the Declaration of Independence, of course, said very clearly that we held these truths to be self-evident that all men were created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and governments are instituted among the nation, men to preserve those rights, those God-given rights. That's what it's all about. That's why America is unique and wonderful, and why we've enjoyed so much freedom for so long, but the wicked people they're intent upon taking away those rights and freedoms, and they are motivated by organized evil. If you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the book by itself or with a video and an audio tape for $29.95. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness special. You need to get our video, Iraq, the Untold Story. And, of course, you can get it with or without the syllabus, but you need to get the syllabus to understand that all of the wars of the last century were contrived, that there was no reason for the Battle of Okinawa, where we lost more men than we lost in all of the other invasions in the South Pacific. There was no reason to invade Iwo Jima or to drop the bombs, because the Japanese had been trying to surrender for 6 months. You'll actually see the article out of the Chicago Tribune, which they were kind enough to let me have. You need to get the information, the documentation on the background to the war in Iraq. We have it from their website. What is that website? NewAmericanCentury.org. Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Bolton, Liddy, Elliot Abrams, all of them were part and parcel of a little group that set out in 1997 to take over our government. They did. Read what they say. Read how they were planning the war in 1998. We're not over there because Saddam Hussein is a wicked man. We financed him from the very inception. And, of course, we kept him in power. And if you haven't read Robert Baer's wonderful book, See No Evil, he was a CIA agent who was there in 1995. You'll find out how the Iraqi people believe Saddam was kept in power by the CIA. In fact, they believe, many of them believe, he was a CIA agent. It's all there in the book, or you can, of course, go to my website at radioliberty.com and pull down my letters. We'll give you the references so you don't have to read the whole book. You can just go through the pages and read what he says about the people in the CIA who said how 9/11 wasn't a failure of our intelligence. It was a triumph. What a wonderful triumph occurred on 9/11. Get the information. Check it out. Find out if it's true. And join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation under God can long endure. Well, pray for America. Pray for revival. Have a wonderful 4th of July. And remember what freedom is all about. Freedom is all about preserving this nation, limiting the power of government. Till next week at the same time, Monday, may the Lord be with you.